to truly believe in the magic.
Right. Welcome to episode 152 of Let's Talk Magic. Tonight, I am joined by the big slice himself, Paul Bagan, False Fandoms, Geraint Jones, and the cider Picasso, Mikey Clark. We're also delighted to be joined by the co-host of Where the Magic Happens, Mr. Skinny Hardaway. So it's going to be a real variety show tonight for Christmas. Tonight's episode is brought to you in association with Attraction Tickets, who are the UK's number one attraction ticket and theme park hotel provider for Disney, SeaWorld, and Universal Studios. They also sell magic tickets at hugely competitive prices. So when planning your next trip, do check out Attraction Tickets using our link in the description to purchase your tickets for Orlando's major theme parks, attractions, shows, and sports events. You can also visit letstalkmagic.com for all of our affiliate links and discount codes, including the NBA store and Fanatics. So just going around the table, I was going to start off with the big slice himself. Paul, how are we doing this week?
Really good, man. Good to have you back. So good to see you smiling, man. You know what we said last week, but it's good to see you back.
Yeah, thank you very much, mate. I appreciate it. I appreciate what you said on the last pod as well.
Yeah, you know it was from all of us.
Yeah. Gee, how we do? Thank you.
Gee. I'm good, mate. I'm not going to lie. I've just run back from a Christmas party in Cardiff. As you can probably see, I'm wearing my Orlando Magic Christmas jumper. Couple of beers, you know, it's got to be done, hasn't it? So I appreciate you holding up the show for 10 minutes for me. So, yeah, man, it's good to have you all, you know, in company.
Going to have the outtakes tonight, mate.
I know.
Mikey, how are we?
I'm doing well, mate. I'm excited for G's big announcement or his reveal of what last week. So we knew Skinny was coming on the podcast this week, and G said, I can't remember who's coming on the podcast this week. He goes, oh, no, I do remember. I think it's... What was it? I've even professed it. There's an outtake for you. Thin Penny.
Thin Penny.
So we got.
I was right.
Skinny Hardaway, aka Thin Penny, on tonight.
I like that. I'm coining that right now. Thin Penny. That's fire.
Yeah.
That's when you order Skinny off Wish, you get that. Giddy, I've been trying for ages to get you on. How are you doing?
I am tremendous. Very, very pleased to be joined by a panel of some very handsome men ready to talk some basketball. I'm super excited, man. I'm good. I've had a pretty good day so far, and just super glad to be here.
We're going to have to up our backdrop games, because when your camera came on, I was like, I know what it looks like, but I was kind of like, I'm going to have to sort this out.
I think Mr. Bacon's got me beat, man. I like that setup. He's got the pennants and everything too. I got to get with him.
Yeah, man. I it's better when I do the game preview, because I tend to stand up then. But there's a lot of stuff not on show. I love that throwback flag behind you. That's awesome.
Thank you. That's definitely my favorite piece of magic.
That is awesome, man. Really like that. Don't let me in your house alone, because that's coming out.
I will make sure my doors are locked anytime y'all are back over here.
You dropped yourself in it now, Paul.
Absolutely. Getting frisked before I leave anywhere from now on.
Yeah, and he's a copper. Was a copper.
Retired.
So on today's pod, we're going to be discussing the win over Cleveland. We're going to get to know Skinny a little bit more. Media coverage of the Magic. We're going to give the way early grades for the first quarter of the season. Looking ahead, and maybe some all-star picks are going to be thrown in, and maybe discussing a couple of small, minor upcoming games on the schedule. Before we do that, we've obviously got our Patreon, and we'd just like to thank everybody who's on our Patreon crew. The support, I know we say it every week, but it's massive. It helps us do what we do. It's really appreciated. So no particular order: Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Angus Craig, Dylan Holden, Alan Kane, Tom Soane, Mark Joss, Drum, Paolo and Franz Warmth, Liam Radbourne, Andy Lindley, Stuart Benzies, and our latest addition, Mr. Barry Conn. Thank you very much. And, you know, we love interacting with you. And we have got a question we're going to throw in from Barry later in the show. So since our last recording, the Magic have got a little bit of revenge with a 104-94 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs were led by 36 points from Darius Garland, 22 from Donovan Mitchell, but he had a poor shooting performance, was just 6 of 18. Magic highlights, we've got a 20-10 from Paolo, 19 from Franz, 15 from Goga, and we've got 12 each from Jalen Suggs and Joe Ingles. So I'm going to start off with Paul, then I'm going to jump to G. Paul, what were your thoughts on the Cleveland game?
I actually thought it was one of our better wins of the season. I'm not saying it was the best defensive performance throughout. I'm not saying that the offense was flowing, as we've seen at times. But what we saw was a team overcome mental adversity. You know, there were turnovers. There were frustrated. There was shooting that wasn't going right. The shooting from distance was poor. We were also seeing inconsistency from the officials on both sides. It's not saying that the officials were favouring one side, but you were getting ticky-tacky fouls called on a play, and then somebody would get clubbed at the other end and there was no call. And you could see players getting frustrated, and particularly our younger side, with our squad being younger, they were getting frustrated by that. Came off at half time, and I think when they came back on, what we saw was the strength of our coaching team, because we came out with a new focus on concentrating on the players what they could affect, and not focusing on the foul calls where you've got no influence over it. They focused on their game, and as a result, we saw a much better defensive third quarter. That team locked in and played some amazing basketball. I think it was 11 of 12 possessions that Cleveland came up empty on during the second half of the third quarter. Equally, in that period of time, they went on a scoring run and gave themselves a nice barrier from the Cavs to build for the lead. And to be honest, I sat there and felt fairly comfortable with the rest of the game during that third quarter. It felt like that was going to be a win for us. I think there were four players for me, ignoring stats, I think there were four players that had their fingerprints all over that game. The first, the return of Jonathan Isaac. He may have been on limited minutes, but you can really see the impact that he has on the defensive set of that second unit. So, so good. You then have to say Jalen Suggs returning. He just shows up and relishes the challenge of taking on somebody like Donovan Mitchell. He just wants to fight. He's an absolute dog. Goga Bitadze. Poor Jarrett Allen all night. He got into a foul trouble early and he just had no idea how to deal with Goga. And Goga was, whether he was getting rebounds or whether he was getting points, a lot of the stuff that he was doing perhaps didn't show, but he'd be getting deflections from rebounds for somebody else to actually get the credit. He was in there and fighting, and I thought was instrumental in us taking the W. And finally, you've got to say, Joe Ingles. And if you aren't already on board with how the front office have turned this franchise around, then the impact of picking up Joe Ingles is the perfect example of it. He is far more than a box score. You have to ignore the box score sometimes to see his impact is that vocal ability, that calmness in possession, the ability to see a pass. God, his game vision is something incredible. I really love watching the guy. You only had to listen to Dante doing the sideline reporting when he'd been talking to Donovan Mitchell and to George Niang, former teammates of his, who were saying you can see his fingerprints all over this team, and particularly on the second unit. He is, for them, a major factor in why we are performing much better this season. Great pickup.
I'd agree. I think that he's become a bit of a crowd favourite, hasn't he?
And yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm pleased that we never went on the bandwagon of he's overpaid, he's a poor pickup, and why have we done it? We always liked the pickup of him.
Yeah. G, can you add to what Paul's just given us there?
Yeah, I mean, Paul's come across with a lot of very, very good points. A couple of slices, mate. He's very thorough.
Behave. Just so taking a drink, you have to drop out a slice. Mate,
It's all good. I mean, Paul's mentioned Goga. Goga's a man possessed. You know, he's playing at a very, very high level. You know, obviously being asked to do, a starter's role at the moment alongside the guys. You know, Franz and Paolo, we know what they can do. They'll get it for us. Paul's mentioned Joe Ingles. I think he kept us in the game in the first half, if I'm honest with you. You know, yeah. We only go into half-time down 3, and I don't think it was a very good first half, but, you know, that's what good teams do. They, you know, they manage to just keep in the game. And then obviously we saw the second half, you know, you outscore Cleveland by 15 in the third, and then, you know, you manage to hold on. But, you know, I just wanted to shout out Anthony Black, 3 steals in the third quarter. I've not been his biggest fan. Obviously, I'm, you know, team faults and all that. But, you know, 3 steals sets the tone. Jalen Suggs, he brings it every night anyway. They were obviously missing Evan Mobley. You know, that's a big thing. But Jarrett Allen fouled out. And that's the second time now we've played Cleveland within a week that those two, both absolute, you know, they're very, very good forward/centers in the NBA, have had foul trouble against our guys. So it shows we're doing the right thing. We're attacking the paint. We're getting to the line. We're getting their best players into foul trouble and causing them issues, you know. And you've only got so much depth in the front court. So, you know, we're doing the right things. And, you know, you get to the bonus, five, 6, 7 minutes to go. Those little ticky-tacky fouls, you know, put us at the line. As long as we make our foul shots, they all add up. So, no, you know, the team, full credit to them. Like Paul said, one of the better wins. Cleveland, you know, probably, you know, if you were ranking at the beginning of the season, I think we probably had them about fourth, fifth, between the four of us each. So it's a really good comeback win, obviously having lost in Cleveland, and you're doing it without Markel Fultz and Wendell Carter Jr. So, kudos to the team. Great win.
And speaking of Fultz and Wendell, they're both participating in workouts now. Suggestions, both are nearing fitness. Markel's no longer definitely listed as out, which is interesting. So we have a question from Barry on Patreon, and he asks, does Goga deserve to keep playing as a starter as he has been excellent, or do we rotate Wendell into the 5 and the 4 spots? So I'm going to start with Skinny with a big question, and then we'll jump across to Mikey, who we know is a huge Wendell guy. So Skinny, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I mean, you just gave the floor to back-to-back big Wendell guys. I'm a huge Wendell fan. I love what he's brought through the years that he's been here. Obviously, the injuries have been something that have kind of hindered some of that progress. I think you have to give Goga his flowers, like a big, beautiful bouquet of flowers for what he has done and stepped in. But I still think Wendell is that starter when he comes back, you know, just so those guys feel that comfortability. I know it's about doing what it takes to win, but, you know, you can't ignore certain things. Those maybe be a little awkward for Wendell to try to find his niche on the bench immediately. I think even if he comes back, you know, we've seen guys come back and there's a minute restriction, but just getting them out there with that first unit. Moses talked about early on in the season, keeping these groups playing together in training camp and practice, mixing it up so they all get continuity with each other. So I think that's what's been big in getting Goga to be able to just come in and immediately step up. I think he's been fantastic in being that finisher of defensive possessions. I think sometimes with Wendell, since he's such a good rim, he's better at rim deterrence, in my opinion, than he is at rim protection. Versus Goga is that old school, just shot blocker, you know, right at the rim. He's going to come down swinging. Because our guard rotation on defense, Jalen Cole has become a better defender. Even Markel, when he's in there, Anthony Black has just been absolutely fantastic. G, I'm glad you pointed him out. He's been fantastic as a rookie. I don't think you're going to lose much if you were able to incorporate Wendell back into the starting lineup, because he was being one of your better floor spacers to start the season. I think he's still shooting about 35-36% from deep. But I think you still have to find Goga a more, you know, improved role, a more important role if he does go back to the bench, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's hard to disagree. I like what Goga's done. I like the old school element of him. So it's going to be a hard one for me to watch. So I'm going to be in the middle because I'm going to throw it to Mikey. So it's one Wendell guy to another. How about you follow on from Skinny?
Well, like Skinny said, Goga deserves his flowers. He's been great. I think the thing we saw from him that I think none of us really thought he had in his bag was his passing ability. You see him getting the ball at the top of the key or the top of the three-point arc, dribble handoffs, players are cutting into the paint and he's finding players, backdoor cuts. His playmaking, his passing's been really, really good offensively. I know he's not really a jump shooter. He's not a three-point shooter. He's the sort of guy who's going to roll hard to the basket, get offensive rebounds, and like Skinny's already said, his defense has been really, really good. And he actually gives us something that traditionally our other two bigs don't have in that shot blocking. Mo's not a shot blocker. Wendell isn't really either. Wendell is just, he's the sort of guy that just fills up the paint. He makes life difficult for you. He's consistent, really, really good rebounder. He's physical. We've seen what Wendell does when he's played against Joel Embiid and Jokic and the numbers and the field goal percentage that he holds those sorts of players to year in, year out. As we know, his durability is the biggest thing. I think this is a bit of a, I'm not worried about this injury. It's a broken finger. Like, it's just one of those things that happens. It's not like the plantar fasciitis was bothering him last year. I'm not worried about that at all. And it's the same with J.I. I know he came back the other night in that he got his ankle rolled on. It's not like his ACL where he's gone down with no contact. Like, they're just injuries that happen as part of the game. So, yeah, getting Wendell back, I mean, you think in the five games that he was playing, he obviously got the big rebound in Utah to help us close out and win that game. But he wasn't shooting the ball well compared to his previous seasons. He was averaging, 9 points a game compared to 15 that he's averaged the last 2 years. So he wasn't really in a rhythm to start the season. And from things I've been listening to, that Wendell and both him and Markel have both been ready to come back for a little while, and the Magic have been a bit more, I don't even think they're being cautious. I think knowing how well this group's playing together at the moment, there's no rush to bring them back, and they're bringing them along a lot more slowly and trying to find a rhythm so that when they do integrate them back into the team, that they don't miss a heartbeat and they're ready to go. I think it's going to be really harsh on Goga if he doesn't stay in this rotation, because he's earned every minute that he's been playing with. But I think Markel and Wendell just elevate this team. I mean, you think even Markel, I know it's slightly off topic from Wendell, but Markel wasn't really in a rhythm offensively either to start the year. So you get those guys back, they find a rhythm. Surely this team only becomes better than where we already are. So it's going to be interesting. I'm sure there's going to be a little period where it's going to look a bit hit and miss. It's going to look a bit rough in patches. But at the end of the day, we know what Markel and Wendell can bring us. And they should lead to more wins that we're actually getting used to.
Yeah. Can I add in on that? Obviously, if Goga goes to the bench, he's going to go back to the, you know, the third string, isn't he? But if Wendell picks up two early fouls, just call it, right? We're not going to have a problem putting Goga in, are we? Because we're going to be confident in it now. He knows the set. He knows how to play with the first unit, etc. So it's a really nice tool to have, knowing that Goga can come in there and just play with that starting unit. Same goes for Anthony Black. But obviously, with Wendell in, the floor is spaced so much more. How many people were, you know, sagging off on Goga? We know he can hit those threes. He did it at back end of last season when we signed him. But, you know, the opposition defense has really got to sort of, you know their scouting reports, because Wendell can stroke it, and you can't leave him open on the three-point line. So having Wendell, just on Wendell now, is absolutely key and one we look forward to.
Absolutely. So we're going to jump from Wendell straight into the guest section. So as you know, Skinny's on the show. He's been kind enough to join us from the start. He's dazzling us with that background if you're watching on YouTube. G, I'm going to throw the first question over to you, and you can begin the interrogation of Skinny.
Yes, mate. Honoured. Thank you. So, Skinny, tell us about a little bit about yourself and how you became a Magic fan.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. A little bit about myself. I'm 22. I'm in school, or university, as you guys would call it, for criminal justice, getting my studies on. I've always been a Magic fan because of my family, and just growing up here, born and raised in Orlando. I have my aunt and uncle. They were 86ers. So like, they were fans of the Magic when we first were, you know, first became an expansion franchise. Yeah. Season ticket holders from 89 till I think 2014. So I've always just seen the Magic, the pinstripes, the stars. And I think I was at they used to do these drives for kids, like a back to school drive at the Amway Center in the off season. And I'm standing in line and I hear a voice. It's like, "Hey, little man, you need a backpack?" But it's like a really, really deep voice that I recognize. I've heard it on TV before. I turn around. And it's Sweet Lou, Rashard Lewis, one of my favorite players of all time. Had a really cool moment with him there. So, like, as a kid, to be able to see these heroes kind of just be so kind to you and always take that time for their fans, that's how I became a Magic fan for sure.
That's awesome. That's a great story. How often do you get to go?
Oh, I'm a religious Magic game attender. Try to get to about 25 to 30 a year. Me and the guys, we usually meet out there, have a good time, go watch the game, you know, maybe heckle some opposing players if they're not playing up to par. Yeah, like, it's got to be done.
Got to be done.
We can do that in February, my friend.
Absolutely.
Skinny, I've got to ask. It's been tweeted out by Keith Smith that we faced Boston twice, we've got Miami, we've got Milwaukee, and then Indiana as the next five games. He says the Magic come out 3-2, and it answers a lot of questions about how playoff-ready this team are. What are your thoughts, and do you believe that we are a playoff-ready team?
I completely agree. And even without... I mean, I think this is a big measuring stick for sure, but even if the schedule didn't, you know, set us up like this, at this point, at 16-7, I believe very comfortably that we are a playoff team. I think a lot of teams around, especially in the Eastern Conference, they're, you know, look at a lot of teams, they have this issue going on, you know, maybe this star needs to be moved or they have to improve things. Mo's talked about keeping everybody in-house, having the same language that we speak, everybody understands what we're going through. And these guys are learning how to win daily. I think this series, I think Keith hit it on the head. I would love to see us go 3-2. It'd be very important for us to go 3-2. You know, with the game tomorrow in Boston and then on Sunday, I think you can get a split out of that. Jalen has said it himself, we don't lose at the crib. So when we play Miami on the 20th, I expect a W there. And probably Indiana again as well. I know that's a good offense, but just look at some of the scoring performances they have allowed lately. I would be terrified for them if Paolo has a good night, to be honest with you. Giannis just dropped 64 on them last night. AD had 50 something against them in the in-season tournament. And that's no shot to these other teams, but you know, when your main focus is playing defense, being all in on the defensive end, and you bring that energy matched along with getting out in transition, you have a bunch of length and size. You guys talked about how much we were able to get to the paint. I think against Cleveland, we scored 56 paint points. Like getting it, bruising people in the paint, drawing fouls, that's our game. I think we have an opportunity to do that against a couple of these teams. So it'll be important for us to go out there with that focus and energy to do so. But if you go 3-2, I think a lot of people around the league are going to look at you and be like, no, that's a legit team right there. So that's not something I'll look for. I don't need the biggest talking heads to approve of us, because we remember when they told us, you know, maybe Paolo wasn't the pick at one. When they said, you know, maybe Franz won't be that good. And that was kind of the consensus. We were kind of nervous, iffy about Franz's pick. But you're never going to have everybody agree on what you watch. You know, you have to believe it yourself. And that's the magic in it. We believe in this team, and I think we're seeing it right now.
Nice.
Talking of that Milwaukee game, Skinny, what are you looking forward to, Mo? You knew I was going to bring it up. Are you looking forward to Mo and Joe Ingles trying to rattle their cages next week? Because
absolutely,
they were a bit touchy last night.
Yeah, they were a bit sensitive. I honestly, in that situation, I do think Giannis was, you know, apparently it's like a franchise record versus rookie's first points. Give the franchise record, give him the ball or whatever. But no, Joe Ingles, Mo Wagner, Jalen Suggs, I think that trio right there, they're going to cause people some problems. That Milwaukee game, though, I am a little, you know, they weren't at full strength the first time. They didn't have Damian Lillard, so that's a huge weapon they have in the backcourt. How we defend that pick and roll is going to be important. If Anthony Black is still in the starting lineup, then I do like his length and matchup with Dame, but it's still Damian Lillard. He's one of the best point guards in the league right now. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun, and I am hoping for an altercation. I won't lie to you. I do want a little scrap in there. You know, a little trash talk.
Absolutely. We play better, I think, when there is that bit of juice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where there is that
niggle. They like that. Like that adversity, that feeling of like, okay, it's us against them for real. And like, if it's at home, it's all of us against them. So it's really, really fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. So who's your current and all-time favorite Magic players and why?
Man, well, obviously Penny. Gotta go Penny. Gotta go T-Mac. Those two guys right there, kind of, when I was a kid, my middle school coach, he called me Penny one time just because I was like, you know, one of the taller kids on the team, but I just like to handle the ball. I could do that. I could, you know, make the plays, make the passes. And then as a kid, I, you know, be at my aunt's house, and I just remembered seeing a little bit of T-Mac. But as I started getting older, watching his highlights, I was like, nobody can score the ball like this dude. I want to be like that guy. And then Dwight came along. Dwight was like the first superstar that I was like, you know, present minded for. And seeing a center like that jump out of the gym, three defensive player of the year awards. I'm sorry. Yeah, those guys, just that run that Dwight era team had, super fun. So Sweet Lou, Hito, Jameer will always be my point guard. Those guys are just like, they are what made the Magic for me, you know, because we had that down stretch, but I always look back on those guys and it's like, they were super fun to watch. Currently, I love my point guard, Markelle Fultz. That's my guy. Big Fultz fan. I think Paolo, when he first got drafted, I was like, I'm going to give him time to become what he is. And like, you know, that's when I'll really start to pay attention to him a little bit more and like, you know, like really not support more, but I guess put a focus on more. But he was just a superstar out the gates. And I was like, nah, I love this guy. This is fun. This is fun. He knows who he is. He knows what he can be and what he will be. And Wendell, I mean, I can go all down the line, really. The Magic have done such a great job of bringing in guys that fit this culture, fit what this fan base supports. Like, they've always done a good job of that. And it's too many players to name, really, man.
I get that, because this team has so many likable players. We've discussed this before, and both Gary and I are kind of Team Cole, both love Cole. But how can you not love Franz, what he brings? How can you not love Jalen, what he brings? It's when we were coming over last year, and my daughter was looking at what jersey to get. I was like, oh, I like Cole. I want this. It was such a hard choice, and it's not been made any easier by the guys that we've brought in this season. It's a really likable team.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a sign of where we've came, because if you look at the lean years, shall we say, when Hennigan was in charge and stuff, you were looking at getting a big Baby Davis jersey or something like that, you know. weren't you, Mikey?
He's fallen off his chair.
Sorry, mate.
That's all right. I've been poking fun at G all night. So
it's yeah, that's all right. So you've obviously got a Banchero jersey in the background there. Banchero... I can only see the five. Sorry.
That's the beers kicking in, Skinny.
That's the beers kicking in. Yeah. Well, so who have you got on your Magic jerseys this year?
No, all I've got is this Penny jersey, man. I have got nice. To upgrade. Gary's making me jealous with the City Edition jerseys. So I got to upgrade my closet for sure. But I just got this Penny one as my first one.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Skinny, yeah, you co-host Where the Magic Happens podcast. I'll just let everybody know who's listening. It's on my car listening list, so I did have it on this morning when I was going to work. And the beauty of the pod for me is, obviously, I'm on a car journey anyway, but when I'm listening to that one, it just feels as though I'm sitting in a car, part of like a carpool conversation about the Magic. It comes across really well, and it's just an enjoyable listening to like Magic fans talking. But the floor's yours. Plug the pod, plug socials, tell our listeners a little bit about the pod.
Oh man, I appreciate that, Gary. That's love, man. I've tuned in to Let's Talk Magic even before the name change. I love the new name change though, because it's just so fitting. Like, let's get on here and talk magic. It's been a lot of fun to be able to do it with those guys, Josh and P. They're amazing, kind souls. They're students of the game as well. They just like to talk the basketball game. So that's really all we do. Like you said, it kind of just feels like you're hanging out with the homies at the park after a long game of basketball yourself. You just want to talk about the Magic. People can find us everywhere at Where the Magic Happens Pod. You can go to our website at wherethemagichappenspodcast.com. Follow me on Twitter at StuffsBurner. I'm a big Stuff fan. You guys see my, I got a little toy back there, man. Stuff is my guy. But yeah, and also on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, just, you know, you guys want to do that, check us out. We greatly appreciate it.
I'll absolutely back that up. It's a cracking podcast, as we'd say in the UK, and it does. It's just got that. It comes off really well. There's some pods I'll have on, and I'll be like, I can't listen to that when I'm in the car. I can't listen to it when I'm on a walk. And that just works really well on my morning drive and my drive home, unless Mikey rings.
Different dulcet tones, that one.
Oh yeah. Get the cider Picasso over the stereo instead, but it's always good. But really good listen for anyone who hasn't listened, and if you have, you'll know what I'm talking about, so check it out. Speaking of media, we're just talking pods there, but we're going to talk about media and the Magic, which is something that's I think something we've got a little bit of an obsession with as a fan base, and I would say rightly so. We've been receiving a bit more media coverage recently, and there's a bit to discuss here, and I always like to see a rant, so I'm going to start with G on this one. G, I just like to set it up. I just like, if I'm going to set anybody up to kick off, it's G. So, G, you recently shared a graphic in our group, and I think Skinny actually shared this on his Twitter, but it was regarding number one picks and how long it was before they had their first national TV game. And from the last 10 years, this is what it was shown on the graphic. Despite being Rookie of the Year, a huge hand in turning the Magic fortunes round, generational numbers, Paolo Banchero is the only rookie on that list yet to have had this happen. So, G, shaking your head, rant.
Well, firstly, let's thank the national media for actually showing us, you know, giving us a little bit of media attention. You know, we've obviously been on, mentioned on podcasts, a couple of, you know, articles on ESPN, etc., about our good start, you know. So we appreciate that. It's nice to be talked about. But, my gosh, you know, the rookie of the year, the guy that's taken the team as it is at the moment, not getting any national coverage. And I'm not counting NBA TV because that does not count, as you've stated. It's just a bit of a joke. They need to share it around. How many games has Victor Wembanyama been on national this season? And what's the record of the Spurs? I think they've won 4 games. I've seen countless accounts turn around and say
three.
It's an absolute joke. I've seen countless accounts sort of, you know, state, we don't want to watch, you know, Keldon Johnson. Is it Keldon Johnson? I can't even remember the names of their players, to be honest with you. Because he doesn't play with that many, you know, decent, high-caliber players. You know, Paolo is an absolute up-and-coming, as we've heard from, you know, our opponents, the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, you read their tweets or X posts or whatever it is, and, you know, they're saying, this reminds, you know, us of somebody they used to have. So, you know, Paolo's built differently. And the fact he hasn't had any, it's just, I don't get it. I really don't get it. You know, worst case, the NBA could just give an even split to, you know, these up-and-coming stars and see, you know, you throw something at the wall, you see what sticks. If you throw one thing at the wall only, then, you know, if it doesn't stick, then it's on you, isn't it? A Victor's going to be great. There's no, you know, there's no denying that. But you need to give Chet, you need to give Paolo, you need to give, you know, what's he called? Edwards from the Timberwolves. You need to give Cade Cunningham. You need to give them all equal airtime. See which team sort of does good. You split it all between whatever teams. Everybody gets a fair chance of seeing whomever is on the television. And everyone can make the decision, because at the moment, nobody can make a decision on Banchero and the Magic. And I think we're finding that, you know, now that media, I think they've got to get their league passes, you know, up and running to be able to watch the Magic, for starters. But I think they're quite surprised that, you know, how good a team we are. So it's disappointing, but hopefully things are going to change, especially with this media coverage in the last month or so, seeing as we've had a good start.
To be honest, even if we were on national TV, I don't think Gilbert Arenas still has an idea about basketball. I mean, man, what a horrible take that was.
Well, that's the next, Mikey, this is the next question, because Skinny's got, as he's mentioned, he's plugged his X account. I think it's a huge value follow for anyone who's got X.
Yeah.
If you want to see Magic Goat takes. But Skinny, you had recently had a great tweet about what Mikey said there about Gilbert Arenas. And you said, I think he's convinced he's got a monkey clapping cymbals in his brain these days. So do you want to just tell the story about this and then give your insights to our listeners?
Absolutely. So, you know, first, everybody knows Gilbert. You know, he played here. You know, Gilbert's past and the things that he's done. I had a respect for Gilbert Arenas, you know, former NBA player, a guy that had, you know, he scored 20 points a game before, you know. I'm assuming this guy knows how to talk basketball. I think there are people that know basketball but don't know how to talk basketball. I'm just not even sure what the case is with Gilbert Arenas. I think it's a combination of both plus something else. Like, if you guys have ever seen that clip of Charles Barkley and there's just the monkey clapping along because he has no idea what's going on. Gilbert the other day said that, first off, he was saying that Paolo doesn't know what his left hand is, doesn't use his left hand. And he says that nobody is game planning for Paolo Banchero. The Magic, you know, that we're not going to be a long-term thing. There's no way There is no way he's watching basketball. There's no way he's watching it. He said that he watched three possessions, and the three possessions he saw, Paolo went to his right hand. So I guess that made him determine that Paolo's not a good basketball player somehow. I just thought it was weird, man. I thought his comments were weird. He had some even weirder comments about Ausar Thompson of the Detroit Pistons. You know, I think it's one thing to phrase something wrong. I think it's another thing to just be absolutely hypocritical. He says that if you're 20 years old and you're as a rookie and you average 10 points a game, you're not in my future. Does anybody have a guess of how many points he averaged at the age of 20?
About 6 or 7.
10 points. He actually averaged 10 points himself. So for you to come out and say that in any aspect was crazy, but two, about a rookie that is, I think Ausar is averaging like 8 boards a game. He was up to like 10 at the start of the season. He's been contributing in every aspect that they could possibly ask him to. The team is just not an overall good team. It's not. They have a collection of old draft picks, you know, that didn't pan out to be the star that they were supposed to. But watching basketball objectively and observing these guys for their skills, both of those comments were just like, this guy has no idea what he's talking about. I think a lot of that is just for engagement. It's for clicks. It's to get people to tune into the podcast. He's the same as Pat Bev. He's in the same boat as Pat Bev. You know, when Pat Bev was like, oh, who are these guys? If I check the standings right now, we are a spot ahead of the 76ers. So I'm pretty sure you know who we are. You're looking at our games. You're trying to game plan for us. You know who Paolo and Franz are. So it's just really ignorance that it's annoying to see. But it comes with being in the media. You know, everybody wants to have the big talking heads talking about you. So you got to deal with it.
Yeah, I very much agree with you there, Skinny, that it's a lot of the comments feel like they are clickbait. Whether or not he believes in what he's saying there, I don't know. But it just feels like he's... You remember the Kyle Kuzma comment? They'd rather be talked about on a bad team in LA than playing for Orlando and not being talked about.
I don't know if you guys...
It's felt like it was those sorts of comments again. That you'd rather just talk something to get clickbait and you know that you're going to get a reaction. And picking two fan bases that are very passionate, that's exactly what you've done.
Yeah. It's funny he says that, though. I mean, I got a chance to listen to the pod squad that, you know, the Orlando Magic just dropped today. And Wendell was talking about, he didn't name any players, but there's been people saying, hey, you guys got a good thing going in Orlando. I wouldn't mind being a part of that. Like, you know, hey, Doc Rivers said it before, 80 degrees and no state taxes. Like, Orlando's a free agent destination, whether you want to believe it or not. People are going to see that this team is young, up and coming. We're a good team. We're going to get talked about in good, bad. That's what comes with being in the media. But that's why we have us. That's why we have you guys, all these podcasts that cover the Magic, to give you the real. We watch the game. We watch it objectively, too. Even, you know, when Mikey was talking about Wendell, that's your guy, but you admitted to his struggles, you know, the things, his shortcomings, but you also praise what they do well. And it's not that hard to do. But if you want to be ignorant in doing so, I'm cool off of listening to anything. So I don't watch any more Gilbert Arenas clips or anything of that nature. I just don't think it's going to be something that benefits my day.
Yeah. And yeah, you were saying about this on your pod where you were saying about Orlando being a free agent destination and it should be on the latest episode. And we're outsiders here. We don't live in Orlando. You know, we weren't born in Orlando. We don't live in the US. But if someone said, I think to any of us, or you can go and live in America, whereabouts in America would you like to live? We all know Florida's in the top two, if not the top one. You know, straight away, Orlando's on the list.
And what's the second one, Gary?
It depends where you're asking me to live, what coast. So I like San Diego as a city, and I've got family in Charlotte, so I could exist quite happily in any of those. But for obvious reasons, I would put Orlando top, where I'm like, I'd like the weather. I wouldn't like to get taxed to the hilt. I'm not going to have an MBA salary, I don't think. But, you know, there's a lot. It's friendly. There's lots to do.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. It's a beautiful. Yeah. Orlando's called the city beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of stuff here to do. You look at guys like Terrence Ross, like a veteran who came down here. He still has his house here. Even when he played for Phoenix, comes back. You know, he's retired now. He's going to stay here in Orlando. Bunch of guys still like have their properties here in Orlando. You can do so much. There's a lot of land. It's absolutely beautiful. And then playing for the best fans in the world, you can't beat it, man. Like, look at you guys from all the way across the river, pouring in love, pouring in all the money that you have to do to get over here to catch a couple of games. Like, I think people are going to start to realize just how global the Magic brand is. I mean, we have so many likable players, like you said, Paul, and not only just now, but throughout the times. Shaq,
yeah.
Penny got voted to the All-Star game as a starter and barely played games that season. You know, like, we have people that fans around the world love. So it's, I think we are going to be a free agent destination for sure going forward.
Yeah. And we are starting to get love. And I know when you were saying that, Skinny, about there's times where you'll just tune it out if it's not objective. And it was nice to see last night when ESPN published their power rankings. And I only really had to look at the top 10 for the Magic instead of going down into the 20s. So we're only going to cover the top 10 now, because this is a top 10 only podcast, guys. So we've got Boston in one, Timberwolves in two, Philly in three, Milwaukee in four, OKC five, Denver six, the Magic seven, G's other team, the Lakers in eight, Indiana nine, and Dallas 10. So, Mikey, I'll start with you and then we'll bounce it to Paul. I just like it how I dropped that in on G there.
Can you not hate a team more than the Lakers? My God.
I've got it. I can.
Newcastle.
Mikey, I'll go with you first. What's your thoughts? Fair?
Yeah, I want to know how they're looking at the power rankings. Are we looking at the power rankings based on their projections for the postseason and favourites to win the title? Or are they basing it off of form and the way the season started?
I took right now.
Right now, okay.
I've spoke about this before, and I sat here and said, I have no idea how they come up with the power rankings. Because this was a question today, I actually looked. And apparently, a lot of it is based around the thoughts on what the team are like on paper. There is around projections to progress in the postseason. And equally, there is apparently a hell of a lot of personal opinion based in these things. With one of the articles I read said that there is some reference given to current form, but it isn't a big factor.
Okay. Well, I would have us three on the list, because Boston atop of the East, I don't think there's really any arguments there. Minnesota have been outstanding. But past that, the Magic have won 12 of the last 14 games. They're half a game back in Milwaukee. We've beaten Milwaukee. We've beaten Boston. We've beaten Indiana. I just don't understand. I don't understand the Lakers being at eight as well. I'm going to throw that one in there. But I think if we're looking at the Magic alone, I don't think OKC have been better than us. They've been really, really good. But if you're basing it off recent history, 12 of the last 14 games we've won, and the teams that we've beaten, then I don't see how you can put Philadelphia above us, and I don't see how you can put OKC above us. That's all I really got to say.
Denver as well. We beat Denver too.
Yep.
I mean, I understand, but that's kind of to what Paul's point is. You know, I think that's where them looking towards the playoff and looking down the road comes in, is like, yeah, the Magic have been really good and they beat them. I think that's why we're right there with them. But I don't agree. I think we can move up. We definitely could move up a few spots in those power rankings if that's kind of how it's based on going forward.
I can see the argument for us being joint fifth with OKC. It's hard to argue that OKC don't deserve to be up there. But I think part of this comes back to exactly what we were talking about, where the national media see it's the magic and don't give us a due credit. Look at how the Joe Ingles trade, when we picked him up, was graded. It was overpay. It was why are they taking somebody else here? What? Yeah, he might bring a little bit of veteran experience, but what is he actually going to benefit the team? And they're not looking at a team being a team rather than it being individual stars. And I think that's the times when you don't understand, when you don't take into account a team chemistry and that it's greater than the individual, that's where you struggle to put us in the correct position. I get Boston. No, you can't really have any arguments. I don't suppose you can have any great arguments about the Bucks at the moment, considering that, yes, we've beaten them this season, but they do have a better record than us, and they are, on paper, absolutely loaded with quality. We've beaten both of them this season. You then talk about the Timberwolves, 17-5 record. You've got Ant-Man in there. Whether you like him or not, there's Karl Anthony Towns, Gobert, and, for want of a better example, Mike Conley. But these are all players that you look at and think they're capable of putting a team on the shoulders. So on paper, perhaps they have a greater depth than us. You know, for what I've said this before, I'm not going to change my opinion. I'm not convinced by the Sixers. And I've said this from the start of the season. They just don't convince me. But I can see why in the power rankings people have got them above us, because their record is equal to ours and they have Embiid and whoever else you wish to add into that mix. So I can kind of get behind that. OKC, again, I can kind of understand why they are ahead of us, because unlike us, they do have an all-star in that rank. So they've got SGA there. So again, on paper, perhaps people are looking and thinking two really excellent young cores, but OKC have that advantage because of having SGA as a former all-star there. Denver, I think we should be above them on current situation. Again, Skinny said we've beaten them this season. They're the defending champions. They've also played two games more and lost two games more than us. But they're going to be put above us simply based on that starting five that they can roll out. And in a seven-game series, I think we'd be massive underdogs as a result. So yeah, you can make an argument for a seventh, but personally, I would put us above that. I'm actually more shocked that we aren't in 10th and that they haven't just gone straight away with Dallas, Lakers, and what's the other one? The Pacers above us. Because probably, again, with the star potential over a seven-game series, I think that we would be the underdogs. But I personally believe we should be fifth.
Okay. So we're looking then, obviously, the Magic team. We've got a starting five right now of Goga, Paolo, Franz, Jalen, Anthony Black. That's the one that's seen the most court time this season. So just a quick round table, really, to grade each player. We'll start with Goga. I'll go Paul, Skinny, Mikey G in this order. What's your grade for Goga Bitadze this season?
Goga, straight up A. Took his opportunity and has absolutely run with it. And like we've said, he is causing people to have a legitimate conversation as to whether he should remain as a starter. The man adds defence, he knows how to block shots, and he's putting up career numbers in pretty much every category of his game.
Yeah. Good for me. Skinny?
For Goga, he gets an A+ for me. Goga, like I said, I was a big believer of Goga when he first got here last year, that, you know, late in the year signing. I think he got here immediately, understood it's time to get to work, wanted to win, wanted to work with these guys. And I think he's always been grateful for his opportunity, whether it was being in the third string on an NBA team. He didn't care. he always has carried himself with that confidence, a happiness. So Goga gets an absolute A plus from me.
Love it. Mikey.
Nice and simple, A plus. You boys have already said it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go with that. And G?
Yeah, it's just, he's a straight A student, isn't he? I mean, all I can add to it is, you know, obviously he's been asked to do what he needs to do. He hasn't had to, you know, take a load offensively. You know, he sets picks, he runs, he rolls, he defends, and he's done exactly what we want him to do. And, you know, bless him. When Wendell comes back, you know, Wendell should get the nod, but we know we've got a very, very capable backup there if Wendell gets into foul trouble or gets injured again. Yeah.
So sticking with you, G, then, give you the floor here. Paolo Banchero.
I'm going to have to go A again. You know, I want to toot our own horn as such. But, you know, obviously it was a bit of a slow start, maybe offensively, I want to say. But obviously he's picked it up. But, you know, he's the leader on that floor. You know, the Magic go how Paolo goes, really, unless France has, you know, an exceptional game. So the development from last season, where we obviously saw, you know, numbers that, you know, we hadn't seen as a rookie, you know, since, you know, the days of LeBron. So he's come on. He's proved he can be a closer, somebody who wants the ball in the clutch, and he can do it at both ends of the floor. So I don't think we can ask for any more from our, you know, number one pick from last season.
Tremendous. Mikey?
I'm going to go A, and I'm going to disagree with G. There is one more thing I want him to do, and that's to get to the free throw line more and shoot free throws better. That's the only thing that he's not been doing as well as last season. But I think some of that, there are games like the Cleveland game where he's just not getting calls that he should be. Like he's probably getting three or four times a game where he's getting whacked. He's getting hit every time he goes to the basket, and he's not getting calls. But the positive side of that is, even in games where he's got off to a slow start, or he's frustrated where he's not getting calls, or he's not being efficient, he'll come out in the second half and he's making adjustments and he's making extra passes and he's playmaking better. His playmaking's got really, really good compared to last season, and last year it was a really good baseline for him as well. But yeah, apart from his free throw percentage, which is really weird because you think he's what jumped at nearly 9% from 3-point percentage, but he's dropped back on the free throws. But I think lately we've started to see he's getting into a rhythm from the free throw line more than he was earlier in the year. But yeah, I just want to see him continue to be aggressive. So yeah, I'm going to give him an A.
Any?
Yeah, continuing on with the A. Paolo gets an A from me. I think in year two already, he's taken the onus upon himself to be one of the guys. And I say that one of the guys because he understands how good his teammates are and how good he can make his teammates. I think that's been my favorite thing to see from him this year. I'm kind of glad, you know, like, it was funny that after that, what, Utah Jazz game, he said, rough start, so what? I knew it was coming. This is what I do. That is what he does. He's able to score the basketball, but I've been super impressed with how he's rebounded the ball this year. And how he's defending. He's defending guards very well, switching his hips out on the perimeter. You know, the blocks aren't going to jump out at you per se, but he's definitely giving guys a challenge when they come to the rim. And I think he's averaging about a steal a game. So it's just been fun to see his game all around progress. And he's starting to not only do the superstar things, but he's doing the little things as well, you know, and being a more of a vocal leader. The way he speaks about this team, he always seems locked in and focused. So Paolo gets an A.
Tremendous. Paul?
Paolo gets an A. The thing that hasn't been mentioned is he's top 10 in contesting threes.
Mm. Wow.
Contesting opponent threes, he's top 10 in that category. The thing Mikey alluded to, the increased amount of ball handling, yeah, we're seeing one or two turnovers. I think the turnovers have gone up. But again, you know what? If it was a rookie guard, we'd be saying, hey, he's learning. And for me, Paolo, second year is still learning. So I can live with a couple of sloppy turnovers here and there because the guy's a god.
What about only Franz Skinny?
Big boogie. I'm not going to lie. I think I'm going to go with a B plus. I've been erasing and rewriting that plus. He's starting to come along a lot more as well. I think both of our guys were kind of off to a little bit of a funky start. And his three ball, I think for a couple games when he had those like back-to-back 30-point games, he was starting to look better from three. It's just been a little flat at times. But, I mean, that's a small gripe and what he's been able to do still. Because I look at that and I say, well, he's not shooting a three ball well and he's averaging 20 points a game. You know, it's crazy to see that. And same thing with Paolo as well. I look at Paolo and it's like he's shooting the three ball well. He's not shooting free throws well, not getting to the line as much as he did last year. He's putting up 20 a game. So I think it's been fun just to see these guys hone in on different parts of their game, which can still make them successful. Boogie is another guy who I've been impressed with his rebounding. He talked about that last year. So yeah, I think I'm comfortable with the B plus. I think as time goes on, probably the way Boogie is after this Boston series, after this 5-game stretch, this is probably an A, you know, but just wanting to see it over even a more longer time, just because he's a third year player. I think he's ready for that. I think he could definitely, we're going to talk about all stars. I think he has a shot for sure.
I hope so. I hope so. Mikey, follow on. What do you think?
I think, yeah, a B plus, I think is probably the right grade for Franz at this point. It's funny because he's averaging 20 points a game and it feels like he's being less aggressive than last year. And he's taking more shot attempts this season than he was last year. Like I said, his points per game's taken another jump. He's obviously had a dip from 3-point percentage, but that will come back up. He's too good to stay at 30%. But yeah, I get the feeling that with Franz is like Paolo's the alpha. I think we can all agree on that. And I feel like Franz probably lets the game come to him. We're not going, right, it's 1A, 1B. Like, everybody's contributing to every game. So, like, Jaylen's getting involved. Goga's doing his thing. Anthony Black's coming off the bench and defending hard. Like, I don't think, like, Franz feels like he has to go out and score 20 points tonight, which I think is why it probably feels like he doesn't need to be as aggressive. That's just my eye test. The stats tell you a little bit different, but I just feel like as a team, there's much more balance and there's a pecking order. People know their roles better this season than last year. And yeah, I just want to see Franz be a little bit more aggressive, like get into his spots. I think there's times where, like we know, it's fourth quarter Franz. That's when he likes to step up and play big, but you want to see him assert himself a little bit more early in games, not just let Paolo be that guy as well. But yeah, I think Franz is happy to take a bit of a back step at times and let other players get their own. And I think that's why there's a little bit more, there's more spurts with Franz of when he gets going, whereas Paolo is a lot more consistent throughout the game, I think. So yeah, it'd be interesting. And obviously when we get Markel back, who's going to take some ball handling responsibilities, it might change again. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, I think a B plus is about right for Franz.
Mikey, can I add to that point just about Franz and his aggressiveness? There was you hit it on the head, because there was a game this year. He went the whole first quarter without a shot attempt. It's that kind of, like, like you said, it's in spurts. You don't want your star to be getting the ball in spurts. You know, Cole Anthony is the guy that should be the spurt because he's off the bench. But I definitely agree. Franz has got to be taking that onus upon himself to be like, hey, I'm a 20 point per game scorer as well. Like, this is what I do for this team. So for sure.
Hard to disagree. It's hard. I think we're all on the same page and Skinny's giving food for thought. So Paul, does that sway you with the original grade? Where are you at?
I'm Skinny summed it up earlier. B plus. I don't know quite which one to go with. I'm going to go B plus because I think, to some element, he's actually seeing more focus on him on offense. He is now
like the first Cleveland game.
Yeah, he is being scouted as being, you stop this man scoring and you take away a huge part of the Magic's game. So I think he's, in some ways, some of the dip that he's having is in part due to that, the fact that he is facing, as with Paolo, opposition focusing their defensive schemes around him. But he's the, in some ways, he is the barometer for our winning games. If he goes over 20, we do well. So B plus, yeah.
B, any disagreement?
Nope, nothing at all. Absolutely. And Paul was going to say exactly what I was going to say, so I'm not going to reiterate what he said. But yeah, I had him as B plus as well. Obviously, having a big campaign in the summer obviously wore him down a little bit, and it's taken him a little time to find his feet. But you know, without a summer and a bit of rest, that's got to be expected. Same with Paolo. But in fairness, you know, given our record, if you'd taken that at the beginning of the season, you know, offered that at the beginning of the season, we'd have all taken it. So, that our stars, you know, exactly what I expected.
Tremendous. And this brings us to, I think, the most talked about player on the Magic, really, in terms of who's making an impact and getting under people's skins. It's Jalen Suggs. And Mikey, you've got the joy of this one to start with. What are you giving Jalen?
I'm going to go an A. I'm not going to give him an A plus. It's funny, the points per game, he hasn't really taken a huge jump yet, but his efficiency is really, really improved. Obviously, we know, he deserves an A plus just for the intensity he plays with and G'ing everybody up. Like, he is the heart and soul. He is the engine of this young group, and he's becoming a really, really consistent 3-point shooter. He's scoring much, much better when he gets to the basket now offensively, but he's not forcing shots. He's not forcing his will on trying to get into the paint and lose. And he's out of control, which we've seen in years past. Like, he's playing with much more control about his game. He's not letting the game get away from him. He's finding his spots. He's finding his moments, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. I mean, yeah, that's all I can really say. I'll give him an A plus because there isn't really anything other than that to give him. Now I've talked myself into it, but there we go. Yeah, he's been superb.
Fair, fair. Paul, A plus.
A plus. A plus. Without him, we don't have the record.
Yeah,
but we have.
G.
I'm going to say A just because I'd give him an A plus if he scored maybe 3-4 points more. Like Mikey said, you know, his efficiencies are good, etc., but his points per game exactly the same. His defense has been absolutely superb and game changing and, you know, an energizer factor for the team on defense. I'd like to give him A plus. I really want to. But you've got to be a little bit, you know, I want a little bit more. It's like with my work, you know, I think I've done really good, but they're like, oh, you could do a little bit more. So I'm going to say A just for that, but I'm loving what Jalen's absolutely doing. And, you know, if we could have 15 Jalen Suggs on our team, I think we'd be okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you said tonight when you were on the beers on work's time?
I mean, if you... When we had
I could do a little bit more.
I was going home happy.
I could just see G's boss going, G's like, oh, what about this Christmas raise? And the boss is like, a little bit more from you, G. Get the train. Skinny, what's your take?
It's funny. I'm in the same boat as Mikey. I have an A down, but I'm just not sure why I have the A. Something just makes me want to just be a little cautious about the A+, but I really don't have much to complain about because, you know, G, to your point, I think from your starting two guard, you know, somewhere around the 15 to 16 point per game is ideal, but he's cleaned up the efficiency. He's, for me, he's been a super reliable shooter. And I think the points that, you know, those extra 3 to 4 points that don't show up on his points per game show up in the team's transition points and the extra possessions that we're able to gain. You know, I kind of feel that he adds points in a different way, in a different light, because his intensity has just been ridiculous. One game, I'm going to sit down and try to count how many illegal screens, just how many turnovers he forces, because a lot of times that's what plays a huge part for us. But Jalen is just—it's going to be an A+. I'm not gonna be scared about it. It's an A+, man. He's done. The work is so noticeable. I'll say you can just see the culmination of the work, and partly the game's slowing down for him. You know, that's why he's been able to slow down. You know, we were so worried about him always playing with that pace and when he was going to be able to control it. I think he's able to control the pace now. He understands his game, and he's not only does he let the game come to him, but he's aggressive in the spots that he needs to be. So I've been happy with Jalen big time. It's an A+ for sure.
Super. One thing is, two of the guys that we've talked about so far, Goga, second in the league for defensive rating. Jalen Suggs, seventh in the league for defensive rating.
You have any idea who's first in defensive rating?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest, man.
It's Jonathan Isaac.
Okay.
This team is loaded. By a mile. Yeah, it's not close. It's not close.
Do you know what's crazy? Just talking while we were talking about Jalen Suggs, I was listening to... it might have been Zach Lowe, might have been somebody else earlier in the week, and they were talking about like early season grades on like Coach of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. You know what? Not one of them had Jalen Suggs in their top 10. Defensive Player of the Year. Top 10. Not, it weren't even mentioned. Didn't even mention his name. Who did they have?
Yeah, I want to know.
Rudy Gobert's favorite.
Absolutely.
It's hard to argue that. But
I can't. Kalen Horton Tucker?
It might well have been.
Austin Reeves.
There we go.
Drew Holiday, Austin Reeves, LeBron, AD was on the list.
For sure.
Brooke Lopez was on the list. It was just a lot of bigs, Giannis. Basically, they tend to overlook guards, don't they, for Defensive Player of the Year? Yeah, but
it's super hard. It's super hard to win as a guard.
But they didn't even have his name mentioned. Not even honorable mention. Crazy.
Mm. Okay. Speaking of possible future Defensive Players of the Year, that brings us to Anthony Black. Paul, what's your grade for our rookie?
Do you know what? I've had so many grades on this one.
We only want one.
Yeah, I know, mate. I've gone from a C- up to a B+, and everything in between. So I'm gonna go for the middle, B-. That's not disparaging him, because I think he came into the season as kind of a developmental project for the long term. I don't think he was expected to make an instant impact in the same way that other players that we've drafted have been. The negative side of things is, I guess, that I saw somebody saying the other day that on offense, we are 4 players as opposed to 5 because he's a non-presence. I think that's a little of an oversimplification. Mikey, you said to me when we spoke about it, that for you, that's more him understanding his role within the team. So I think that's a very good point. I'm not going to steal your thunder. I'm crediting you with that one, man. Because it was a good point you made. The positives is in that, in what Mikey was saying, is he's not trying to inflate his numbers. He is happy to accept his role within the team. And when he does shoot, he's averaging 50%. I know he's not shooting a lot, sort of, about 4 shots a game, 4 field goal attempts a game, something of that nature. but he's averaging 5 points, so fair enough within his role. But I don't think that's not his game anyway. I love the understanding he has with Goga. That's just something really good to see. No doubt born out of training camp on the Green Goblins that we keep hearing about that they were. It's his defensive ability. Jeez, the man's playing big minutes that was unexpected. He's come in and he's given it his all. He's a really strong defender. He's impacting on that position, and his positioning and his willingness to work hard is in the defensive system for the team is undeniable. Great attitude. I think one example I'm going to give for his willingness to work hard was when we saw Jaylen go out against Cleveland in the road loss. He upped his effort. He tried to fill the void that Jaylen being absent left, and he worked his backside up. So I think B minus is a fair grade. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm next up, so I'll take the floor. B minus is exactly what I had, and I was thinking, oh, Christ, Paul, I'm taking my thunder. But exactly what you said, mate. You know, he's come in, he's done a job. Obviously, he's been given limited opportunities on offense. He's done what he's been asked to do. He's very good defensively. He crashes the boards. He's active on defense. You know, and to quote Roy Keane, that's his job, isn't it? So he's doing exactly what is being asked to of him from the coach. So you can't fault him. You know, you'd like to see a jump shot, you know, be a bit more consistent, a bit more fluent, shall we say. But no, Anthony Black has come in, and the team's record speaks for itself. You know, Skinny and myself, you know, Markel guys, and I know you guys are Cole guys, and you probably would have wanted to see Cole given an opportunity, but Anthony Black has come in, and he's done a fantastic job, you know, given the opportunity. So, for what he's being asked, B minus, you could argue a B maybe. Yeah. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Skinny.
I'm right with him pretty much, but I'm gonna go B plus. I'm gonna go ahead and give him a B plus for what he's been asked to do. That's where the plus comes in. Yeah. Because I genuinely think, you know, when I look at Anthony Black's game now, I really feel if he had more than five games it's one thing to practice with a guy, and see how they go through practice. But if he had more than five games to see how Markel Fultz operates and gets himself involved in the offense, he'd have a bit of a better understanding of how to pick those spots, you know, because Markel and AB are tremendous playmakers and great defenders, in my opinion. So a lot of the game can be shared, you know, just through knowledge, just through telling them, hey, man, you know, sometimes when you catch the ball on the wing, look to put it on the floor. You know, that is how you play make. Because he can draw attention if he drives to the paint, if he's, you know, actively looking for a shot versus if you're not looking for one. Obviously, the defense is a little bit more lax. But like you guys said, I think that's part of him understanding his role. Somehow the offense is still rolling, even if he's not necessarily looking for the shot as much. So it's something that will come along. But from what I've seen from him on the defensive end, hands down, I have absolutely loved this draft pick. I have absolutely loved it. Like, I don't think I could ask for anything more, really, for a guy who, like you said, Paul, I knew when we first drafted him, I'm like, okay, you know, maybe 2-3 years from now, this guy is going to be ready. He's going to, you know, getting there, getting real, real good minutes. I knew he was going to have to play, obviously, as a 6th overall pick, but the defense is just, it translated so well, like so, so well. I was kind of worried about the frame a little bit, you know, oh, maybe he's gonna have to put on some more weight faster or whatever. He's been able to track guards in the pick and roll like nobody else. Like, it is ridiculous. There's so many plays where you think he's out of it, he's right there with the hand in their face. I think Anthony Black has definitely impressed me. He's taken everything on the chin. He wants to learn. Big fan of Anthony Black. He gets a B plus from me.
I don't understand why some fans are giving up on him personally.
You know, people, I think, And it's not even just a Magic thing. It's, you look at like Luka, when he came in, he kind of changed like what people perceive from rookies to be good versus average versus bad. People expect these rookies to come in and immediately be able to, you know, put up 25, 30 points a game, you know, just be these ridiculous, you know, franchise changers immediately. It's not always linear for everyone. It's not the same for everyone. Not everyone has the Paolo impact immediately. You know what I mean? Paolo came in ready to be that guy and on a team that needed him to be that guy. I don't think necessarily we need Anthony Black to be that kind of guy right now with the roster that we have and the jump that guys are taking in their aspects.
Mikey, follow on from Skinny, but I agree with what he just said.
Yeah, spot on. I'm going to give the babyface assassin a B. I just think it's a little bit like Jalen Suggs. Like, you know, you don't need his offense for him to be effective. And it's the same for Anthony Black. Like, and I think it's a massive testament to Jamal Mosley, because he's had conversations with AB and said, look, this is your role. This is what we want you to do. We want you to go out there, sit down, guard, rebound, get out in transition, cut to the basket, set screens, and just be active offensively. You haven't necessarily got to put up any points. Obviously, he had the great start when he first got thrown into the limelight and got put into the starting lineup, which I think surprised all of us. I think we all thought, yeah, there's a chance Gary Harris is going to start once Markel went down. But AB's just, I mean, I love the kid when he was coming out, when we got him in the draft. Same as Skinny. Like, you guys know I was on AB quite early on for that sixth pick. And I just think the tools are there. He's around smart players who know where to find him, know how to find him, know how to utilize him, and they're playing to his strengths. And obviously, offensively, there's a lot there to develop in the next couple of years. But AB's defensive intent and his aggressiveness. I mean, the kid's baby face, as I said. But man, you think Jalen Suggs plays a bit of fire? This kid. We see as a friends, like, you think, oh yeah, they're quiet kids. No, they play with that fire in their belly. Like, they really want to get after it. And we've seen when AB gets a bit frustrated at times, like, he can lose his temper, he can get himself a technical, or players are having to hold him back and tell him to chill out a little bit. But mate, AB, he's going to be really, really good in a couple of years' time. And I love what I've seen from him. Yeah, so I'm going to give him a B.
Good grade. So if you're watching, guys, you've just had a load of love. You've had your flowers. So really, really quickly, I know we've mentioned about possible all-star selections. I was just going to run through everybody here. I was going to start with Skinny. If it's an East-West format, who are you taking on the Eastern team? And does Moz have a shot at being the coach? So I'm going to start with Skinny, then Mikey, Paul, G.
All right, so I'm super glad that we're going back to this East-West format. Yeah. I'm hoping we go back to the guys wearing their team uniforms. That would just be the coolest thing ever. That would be so cool. Like, man, you remember when everybody used to have their different warm-up jerseys out there? And, like, it's that for sure. That's going to be cool. I think right now there's definitely argument that Coach Mosley could be that coach for the All-Star game. I'd probably shed a few tears if he was in his third year, to be honest with you. That'd be an amazing feat for him. Quickly, my All-Stars, they're pretty most of these I feel pretty good about, except for one. So I got Embiid, I got Giannis, I got Tatum. I think Halliburton's probably going to play himself into that, especially because it's in Indiana. I think Maxey could probably get in there too, because, you know, he's with Embiid. Dame, Donovan Mitchell, Mikal Bridges. Bam Adebayo's been playing out of his mind in Miami, I'm not going to lie. And so that leaves me with, I believe, 10. I have Trae Young on here because he's putting up crazy numbers, but they are like ninth in the Eastern Conference. And if they continue to slip, I believe France can get in there. And regardless, I think we'll have one all-star. I do. I think, well, I don't think they'll be a starter. I think they'll be a reserve. But I think France could sneak in Trae Young's spot. And I think Paolo is probably gonna be that guy that they take first, just because of him being the number one overall pick, and they're gonna, you know, look at him as our alpha guy on the team. But yeah, I definitely think that we'll have some representation up in Indiana come February.
Love it. Love it. Mikey, can you follow on?
Yeah, so I've got, there's obviously going to be some magic bias on this episode, but I've got Paolo and Franz. This is who I would have, but I don't think Franz is going to make it. But I've got Paolo, Franz, Giannis, Dame, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. I've got Bam, I've got Trae Young, and I've got Halliburton. That's my 12.
Okay.
But yeah, I think, you guys see the post the other day? I think it was Kevin Pelton that got some pelters for his takes and comparing Scotty Barnes's numbers to Paolo. Scotty Barnes isn't doing what Paolo's doing. He didn't do it last year, and he's not doing it this year. The Raptors are, I think you said, skinny. They're 10th. So they're 10 and 14. So you've got people trying to position Scotty Barnes for the All-Star team on a losing team. Yet the Magic are third in the East, half a game back of Milwaukee in second. Your best two players are averaging over 20 points a game. Like, to me, it's a no-brainer. Like, Scotty Barnes shouldn't be in the All-Star game over Franz or Paolo, but unfortunately, I think there's going to be some media bias that's going to say otherwise for me, but that's my 12.
Starting five, I'm going Tyrese Halliburton, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Giannis, and Joel Embiid. They're my starting five. Dame, Trae Young, Jalen Brunson as three guards on from the bench. Bridges, Mikal Bridges, Jimmy Butler, Paolo as the forwards. And like Skinny said, Bam's playing out his mind. So I think probably Bam as the backup centre, possibly Porzingis, possibly Miles Turner. Hard to pick. Out of those three. Bam. Tyrese Maxey, I feel bad missing him. He's missing out. Cade Cunningham, Zach LaVine, Darius Garland, you can make considerations for them. But no, they're mine. That's who I'm going with. Franz is just missing out. I'd love to see Franz there, though.
Welsh Wizard, what you got?
Exactly the same as young Mr. Clark there. But so I'm not going to go over what he's just said because I literally agree with him wholeheartedly. But, you know, you talk about Coach Mose, and it would be absolutely fantastic if he did it. Obviously, all we've got to do is get a second. Joe Mazzulla was the coach of the Team Giannis last year, or what would now be the Team East. So, you know, that's where the team needs to focus on. You know, we've got until February, the whatever it is, to get to second in the East. And that needs to be almost something on the drawing board in the team locker room to get that for the coach. You know, if you get first, fantastic. But Mazzulla obviously can't do it this year, having done it last year. So it's about being better than the Bucks, the Sixers. But ultimately, as I've mentioned on many other, you know, episodes, we want to win our division. We want to win the Southeast division. We beat the Miami Heat, you know, we own that division, and let's keep owning that division for the foreseeable future, because I don't think any team in that division has got a brighter future as we have. So let's just try that first.
Not a team in the East has got a brighter future than we've got.
Oh, I absolutely agree, mate, but let's just start with the Southeast first and let's keep on rolling.
So, before we next record, the Magic play twice in Boston, we host the Heat, and then we've got Milwaukee. So quick round the table. How are we going to do? Skinny, what's the record going to be? How many wins out of the four?
I'm going to say the Magic are going to go 2-2. I'm going to say they're going to be 2-2 before they go into Indiana for that next one.
Who's the two? Any?
Boston and Miami. Those are the two I feel most confident about. But I honestly, no, I wouldn't be surprised to see them come out of Boston with a clean sweep. I mean, I would be like, you know, like, wow. But it would not be the craziest thing, man. Yeah. Let's hope. Let's pray and hope.
Love it. So, Paul, where you're at? 2-2 from Skinny. What do you got?
Same, 2-2. First night in Boston, we win. They're on the second night of a back-to-back, and I just feel that we've got the ability to come in, especially as Jaylen Brown is going to be questionable for that one by the sound of things. I think we could take the second game, but I think they may have a bit of a response. We beat Miami. I didn't realise how injury hit they are, in all honesty. We probably fall to Milwaukee. It's a place we've got a terrible record, though we are in that streak of breaking the runs, the bad runs against things, but we haven't won there since February 2019. So, yeah, 2-2.
Nice. G?
Yeah, I'm going 2-2 as well. Like Paul said, hoping we get a W in Boston, especially on a back-to-back. It would be nice to get the second one, though, because it's a UK-friendly time. It's on a Sunday night. I think it's at 7:30, 8 p.m. at the time. So, Skinny, when you're in your afternoon, you have to switch over from the NFL that day. Hopefully tune into the Magic. And then I think... And then we need to protect home courts, as Skinny said before, you know, protect the house, and we have. So, you know, we need to send them home packing with a W. Milwaukee be difficult, so let's just play it safe for the 2-2 win against Miami. Either one against Boston, just to make Eddie House cry a little bit more.
Love it. Love it. Mikey?
3-1.
Like it.
Win Friday night. We're going to beat the Heat, and we're going to break that streak against Milwaukee on the road.
Nice.
I love it.
I'm going for a Desmond, so I'll go for a 2-2 as well. And we're going to have, I think we'll get a one in Boston and Miami. So a Desmond, 2-2. There we go. That's probably a lost one on some people, but it's a... I had to get it in there.
Gary, I'm old enough to know it.
It's good. So, it's optimism around the table. We're looking at G's Christmas jumper. I'm looking at Skinny's great flag there. As always, thank you for listening. Skinny, would you like to just throw one last promotion for your pod and your socials out for our listeners in case they missed it?
Absolutely. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter at StuffsBurner, you can follow the pod at Where the Magic Happens Pod. Or WTMH pod on Twitter, Instagram. Follow us on, subscribe to us on YouTube, and check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. I appreciate you guys, man.
I've got
one more question for Skinny, from G and I. So if you like the new nickname, Thin Penny, are you going to change your Twitter handle to Thin Penny? Or Skinny Hardaway, aka Thin Penny. That's what I want to say.
I think that's exactly what I'm going to go with. I'm going to coin that right now.
The next time you are in the arena at the show, you've got to get Thin Penny on a jersey.
I do, right? Yes, I do. I think I'm really going to run with it for sure. I appreciate y'all coining that one for me. That's fire.
I'll have to get Cortez to shout it out across a bunch of people and see how that goes. So if you like the episode, just as Thin Penny has been telling us there, if you liked our episode, please subscribe. Give a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Do leave us comments or questions. We do our best to respond to everyone. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platforms, leave us a nice review. Share with other Magic fans. That really helps us grow the show. You can get to us on Facebook. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and X. It's @_Let's Talk Magic. So for Mikey, G, Paul, the one and only Skinny Hardaway, aka Thin Penny, and myself, go Magic.
Go Magic.